The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
Inflation pops and bonds drop. Welcome. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Glad you are here on the show today. We're going to talk about 401k millionaires. Yeah, they're back. We're going to talk about how they do it. Ask Annex is coming up. And then aging in place. Maybe you're going to stay in the place that you're at. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's ways to arrange it. And we help our clients with that. Toward the end of the show, Wall Street Journal headline story Friday. Here's the headline. Realtors reach deal that will change how Americans buy and sell homes. Big story. We'll discuss it. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management is here.
It's great to be here.
Hey, Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. What an interesting week it was. And this is a good time of year. Lots of fun, a lot of tournaments happening. Of course, it was 3.14, right? March 14th. It was Pi Day earlier this week, and of course, St. Patrick's Day coming up. So a lot of interesting things happening. And what happened this week economically is we got a CPI and a PPI report. We're going to explain what that means because both were stronger than expected. That has a lot of implications of what the Federal Reserve is going to do.
It certainly does, especially since this upcoming Wednesday, March 20th, the Federal Reserve is going to be releasing their policy statement at 1 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time. I also think, importantly, they're going to be releasing their updated wild guesses about what's going to happen with the economy. It's called their dot plot. And so far, they've been indicating, let's maybe start cutting in June, do 3 cuts. Maybe now it's only 2 after these inflation numbers, the CPI numbers. So consumer price index, that was hotter than expected. That's the second month in a row that it came in hotter than expected. The PPI, producer price index, so that is the price that producers are getting for these goods. And so sometimes that can be taken as an indicator of future consumer price inflation. That was hotter than expected, but it was only 1 or 2 months in a row. And I don't know, it seems like the market maybe is taking 2 data points and trying to connect a straight line between them and saying it's a trend. I was always taught maybe you want to wait until you get 3 or 4 data points before you start drawing those lines.
Yeah, and we're going to have to pay attention to that. Of course, the trend sometimes can be your friend, but maybe in this case it may not be. And you also used another acronym, which may have flown by people, wild guesses. We call those WAGs, right? So
right.
There's no question about what's happening, but it was hotter than expected. And why that will have implications is because we have thought that the Federal Reserve was going to cut rates. First of all, in March, they kicked that can down the road, and now they're talking about June, and they may kick that can down the road. At some point, they're going to hurt their foot.
That's right. Yeah, either they're going to hurt their foot, or it's already hurting homeowners as far as being locked in, or people who are trying to sell their homes. It's also hurting people who have credit card debt. It's also hurting small businesses that maybe haven't been able to lock in these incredibly low rates that we had over the last few years. So even if the Fed doesn't hurt their foot, it certainly does feel like they're hurting the foot of a lot of small businesses that are out there.
And the other thing that we saw in there was the core retail sales report. Why that's important, it gives another indication of the health of the consumer. Obviously, we've covered over and again that GDP measures the health of the consumer, and 2/3 of GDP, of course, comes from consumer spending. So we're going to have to watch that, and it was slower than expected, and the stocks in the consumer areas reacted to that.
It did. So the retail sales number came in weaker than expected. It rose 0.6% month on month. But for some context, that's only up 1.5% from a year ago. Now, these are not inflation adjusted numbers. So if you adjust for the 3.8% inflation that we've had over the last year, the real volume of sales has actually fallen. And that's not necessarily that great of a sign as far as with the consumer health. Now, in terms of the different components, over the last 12 months, furniture store sales are down 10%. Building material store sales are also down like 10%. The only areas that are really strong and positive, online sales, up about 6%. And then, of course, food and drinking places, that's up 6.3%. So you almost have this bifurcation is what we would call it, or this forking between what's been happening as far as with, say, the traditional sectors of the retail sales that most people think of versus these more, I don't want to call them untraditional, but kind of these other areas people maybe don't think about them too frequently, online sales, and then what you spend as far as at bars and restaurants. That's the part that's been really rising.
Danny, we talked about bar and restaurant sales going up, and you're a health nut. That's not you pushing those numbers, is it?
Restaurants maybe, bars no.
Yeah,
no,
right. But really right now what we want to do is pay attention to those numbers, and especially as we go into the rest of the year. Of course, we've covered the fact that this is a presidential election year. That is also a positive. The second thing that's going to happen is earnings season is going to pick up again in April. But between now and then, we may have a bumpy ride, Brian.
Yes, it does seem like there's some seasonal weakness here. Now, what does seasonal mean? It's not necessarily tied to, you know, the actual season, summer, winter, et cetera. It's just these different calendar effects. And in a presidential election years, March, April, and May can oftentimes be choppier parts of the market. You know, we know who the candidates are. Oftentimes, there's a lot of vitriol. There's a lot of arguing, a lot of uncertainty about who might win and what sort of policies might emerge. And so this is actually the part of the year that tends to be a little bit choppier than other times. As we get towards the election, it gets a little bit clearer, perhaps, as to who might win, what sort of policies might come out. And then November and December just historically have been very positive for the markets in presidential election years.
And the last positive piece I want to throw out there is we saw a report by Goldman Sachs suggesting that there will be buybacks. Mm-hmm. We want to explain what that means, but they were suggesting that 13% buyback improvement in 2024 and 16% in 2025. How should the listeners take that information?
Yeah, so stock buybacks are companies are able to buy back their own shares. Now, what that does is if you're still holding on to those shares, you're basically getting a bigger slice of the pie. As far as the earnings per share, typically everything else being held the same, will increase if they just do a buyback. Now, there are some changes to the tax code where it's trying to change businesses from doing buybacks to doing more dividends. But still, buybacks, if companies have a lot of cash sitting around, which some of these very large companies, they're cash cows, and they have a lot of cash on the balance sheet, one of the ways they can put it to work, they can reinvest in the business, or they can distribute that to shareholders. That does tend to be supportive of equity prices going forward.
And folks, all of this information, inflation reports, the Federal Reserve's action, presidential election year, buybacks, all of this is going to go into what's going to happen over the next several months. That's the reason why your portfolio should be aligned properly. Know what you own, why you own it, and how much you're paying for it.
Yep, and the place is annexwealth.com. Click on that Get Started button. That is our Week in Review. It's always available on demand at the top of the hour, wherever you get your podcasts, also in the Axiom newsletter. If you're not signed up for that, make sure you do that at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday, March 17th. A little bit later, going to celebrate 401k millionaires. Thanks for listening. We're going to be right back on 92.5 Fox News.
Is there anything sweeter than the crisp sound of a driver when it connects purely with the ball? Many golfers evaluate the quality of their shot by the sound it makes. You may feel the same about your financial plan. Something doesn't seem, look, or sound right. Think of Annex Wealth Management as financial swing doctors. We'll give you the truly objective analysis that comes from a fee-only fiduciary with no products to push or commissions to chase. If you need help, talk to our pros. Get started at annexwealth.com.
Welcome back. Hope you can join us Tuesday for a webinar version of our presentation, Election Year Investment Myths. Happens on Tuesday, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central. We're given two time zones. We know a lot of you are listening on the stream across the country. It's Tom Parks, Deanne Phillips, reviewing common investing myths that tend to pop up during election years. We've had this out on the road. It's been really well received. We'd like you to be there. All the details at annexwealth.com/events. In the studio, Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano, President and CEO.
Danny, you know what? Our investment team gets up early and reads lots of research. And one of those things that has been getting a lot of attention is this $8.8 trillion sitting on the sidelines, air quotes for those radio listeners. And what that means is that it's generally in money markets. But I do want to break that down because there's this idea that some of this money is going to come back into the markets and chase equities. But that's not necessarily true. Some of this money market is safety, some of it's corporate, and so I do want to break that down.
Yeah, the $8 trillion that a lot of people hear about, it's like, wow, that is a really big number. Because, well, it is. However, we have to look at it more through the lens of what is this from a portfolio allocation perspective? So the people who are holding this cash, is that a bigger chunk than usual of their overall financial assets? And so when we look at the data, it's actually about historically average. So your typical household, if they're sitting on about 10% of their portfolio in this quote unquote cash, which as you pointed out, is usually money market accounts or savings accounts, so it's interest bearing, it doesn't seem like it's that unusual of an amount. And so I'm not sure that people are over allocated to cash and that they're going to start chasing equities. In fact, some of the data might suggest that individuals are actually over allocated to equities compared to historical norms.
And we're going to have to watch interest rates, and there's no question why this has been happening. We're starting to get paid more than 5% on some money markets. And so that is a good alternative to the risk of equities. And so we are watching this. We'll see if some of this comes back in and if people change their asset allocation. But at least from 30,000 feet, it is another bullish indicator.
It is. Yeah, it is a bullish indicator in the sense that people are earning more on their cash. That's supporting economic activity. And my guess is that we're going to see people begin to extend duration. So just a technical way of saying, hey, instead of sitting on cash, why not try to lock in these higher, longer-term interest rates, where instead of getting 5% on your money market, if you can get a little bit more holding a bond instead, I think that's probably where we're going to see some of the shifting. We have seen yields, like the 10-year Treasury, go from under 4% up to 4.3%. That starts drawing investors in because that's an attractive yield.
So longer-term bonds and perhaps even a CD that has a different duration. So a lot of really interesting things that people can do.
That's Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. Dr. Brian Jacobson, our Chief Economist. Still more to come. We've got them for the rest of the hour. Time in the market, not timing the market. That's how 401k millionaires are created. But how did they do it? That is coming up next. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
It was bound to happen. Over your career, investments came along for the ride. The first 401k, brokerage account, profit sharing, stock options, pension, another 401k, an insurance policy, an annuity. You get the picture. At Annex Wealth Management, we believe every portfolio tells a story. After all, we've seen, reviewed, dissected, discussed, and analyzed thousands of them. Some portfolios are like well-tended gardens and reflect diligence, patience, fortitude, and optimism. Others tell the story of being sold commission products that might not have been the best choice, maybe for the salesperson, but not for the investor. When the financial planning team at Annex reviews your portfolio, we spot what works, what might not, and then provide unbiased suggestions based on what's important, the retirement you desire. That's where the good stuff happens. Every portfolio tells a story. Let's work on yours. Investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. As a fee-only fiduciary, that's our story. Head to AnnexWealth.com, click the Get Started button. That's AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services, Annex Wealth Management. He and his team work with a number of companies to help their employees save, invest, and plan for retirement. Welcome back, Tom.
Hey, Danny.
In the last 6 years, you and I have done a segment like this probably three times. We're talking about 401k millionaires. The point of this is to celebrate your patience, folks, with your 401k, but also remind you, you're playing a long game. There are times that we weren't celebrating as many 401k millionaires, but we'll get into that. Tom, here's the headline. Soaring number of Americans are now 401k millionaires.
And that's awesome news, Danny. We got to take the wins and celebrations when we can. So this is according to Fidelity. You and I always go to that well for information because they have tons of information, proprietary, and they could basically do their own research by looking at their book of business. And they said that 401k accounts jumped 20% from September to the end of December. And things have been pretty good since then as well. So it's, I think, reasonable to assume that that number's probably gone up even from then.
Retirement savers ended last year with an average account balance at their highest level in nearly 2 years. More than a third of workers increased their retirement savings contribution rate last year. That has to be music to your ears.
It definitely is, Danny, because the markets certainly help. That's why we talk a lot about asset allocation, diversification. But ultimately, if you're not putting money into the thing, it doesn't matter how good your rate of return is. You guys got to have some contributions to grow. So the fact that people are not only contributing but increasing, even if it's incremental, that's fantastic news.
We've talked about 401k discipline, and 401k discipline is important. It also helped the market was kind of cooking at the end of last year.
There's no question that securities markets have helped a lot when it comes to the growth in the overall dollar balance.
Yeah, now you touched on this. It wasn't just the stock market. You got to pour in.
It's a combination of the two. So I think, you know, personally, the most important ingredient is your contributions. Because like I said, no matter what the market's doing, if you're not participating in it with your dollars, it doesn't really matter. But it is a combination of the two. And so we see when we look through the reports of our clients, we do these annual reviews and we'll take a look at the overall plan and, you know, how is money allocated throughout the plan. We'll always, in every review, we'll see some people, two or three people who have all their money in, you know, the stable value fixed or, you know, money market type account. And we say, okay, you know, we got to talk to those people. They're understandably concerned about volatility in the market, but they're missing out on this stuff that you and I are talking about right here. So it's a constant education process.
Tom Parks is Director of Retirement Plan Services at Annex Wealth Management. All right, I'm looking around to see if anybody's noticing. Hey, what's the secret sauce to becoming a 401k millionaire? You can tell us.
Well, Danny, it's kind of like the lottery. You got to be in it to win it. So if you want to participate, it does help the earlier you start, for sure. So, you know, if you're in your 20s, please do not think of it as, oh, I've got to save 20% of my pay. Just start putting some stuff in there, and you'll be amazed at how it grows for you over time. But consistency is another thing. Not only consistently participating, but consistently ratcheting it up over time. So I think those are the things that are really going to give you the most bang for your buck.
Here's where Tom and I are going to turn into the stern uncles at the barbecue talking to the younger folk. And we've said this time and time again, but boy, do I believe it. You gotta not be afraid to save enough that it hurts just a little.
That is my rule of thumb, Danny. There are lots of really complicated calculations that we can get into. People generally do save between somewhere 10 to 15% of your pay, which is a good rule of thumb. But I think if it isn't hurting at least a little, you are not doing enough. It should at least hurt some.
You've taught me, and I follow that.
It's something that this was not my background when I started in this career, Danny. You know, I studied philosophy and economics. And so I was trying to think of ways to communicate this stuff to people. And that just seemed true to me. If it hurts a little, I must be doing something right. I'm heading in the right direction.
Back to the beginning of the segment. We've talked about 401k millionaires probably three times, maybe more. There were times that we didn't. And it's important to say that.
I started in this industry, Danny, in 2001. And that was a turbulent time. You know, we had the whole dot-com bubble and all that stuff. Then you fast forward to 2008. Those were some rough times in the market. So there have been periods of time when it wasn't all roses. We've been very fortunate in recent years with just a general uptrend in rates of return in the markets. But no, it's not always easy. Again, going back to discipline, that's why you got to keep going. You got to keep going through, heading in that direction. In the long run, it has tended to pay off.
Who wouldn't want to be a 401k millionaire? It takes a little sacrifice, but what it really takes is a solid benefits program. That's what Annex Wealth Management and the Retirement Plan Services Department does. We're ready to work with more companies, aren't we?
We absolutely are, and we have so much fun doing it. This is what we do day in and day out, is try to help people understand what is the benefit that's being offered to them by their company, and how can they take advantage of it and make the most of it.
Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services, Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
We're back. It's time for Ask Annex. Got a question for us? You head to our website, annexwealth.com. Look for the Ask tab. We get back to everybody. Don't have to be a client, though we'd like you to be a client because then we can really, really help. In the studio, Ken Bellinger, senior trader. Hello.
Hi, Danny.
And we got Fred Coleman, a CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Thank you, Danny.
First question on Ask Annex. I'm quite confident with the 5% plus for my current cash account. Doesn't look like rates are changing anytime soon, so is there any pressure to consider a next move?
Well, here's the thing about interest rates, especially when you're in a cash account. Once interest rates begin to drop, it'll be almost overnight where that yield on that cash drops. So now is the opportunity because the Fed has started to telegraph its moves. Now is the opportunity to start locking in some of those higher rates. That could be a CD if you're looking for just to get that 1 or 2 years. Or if you want to extend it even further and lock it up for the long term, you can look at some high grade corporate bonds because once interest rates drop, those opportunities likely won't be around for the long term, and you'll need to probably take on some additional risk if you're looking to get in that 5%.
Yeah, absolutely right, Fred. And I think, again, the core of this goes back to kind of what's the purpose of this cash? We've got a short-term expense coming up, say less than a year. Money market's great, right? But if you've got maybe it's a longer-term savings account or it's just part of your broader financial plan for the long term, now's a great time to think about moving away from that money market and towards the long arc, whether that be moving to bonds or into the equity market.
But it's not going to go from 5 to 1%.
No, it'll be a gradual drop, right? But the thing is, with cash accounts, we don't know how fast it's going to go down, right? We can predict, but we know it's going to go down.
Takes a long time to go up.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't take much time to go down. It's Ask Annex next question, and this is a big one. Currently feeling overexposed with, he names the stock, but it's a big one. Considering options to liquidate 60% of my position, which is $150,000, and diversify, but cautious due to tax implications. Currently maxing the Roth yearly, also contributing 15% to a 401k with a 6% match. Unsure the best strategy to move money to a, quote, safer position, liquidate in one fell swoop, and eat the taxes, or cash out in lumps over the next several years to hit the max for a 401k. Any advice is welcome.
A lot of this kind of goes to a combination of tax planning and how concentrated is this position, which is information we don't have. But it sounds like from a saving perspective, we're maxing out the 401k, we're maxing out the Roth. So in terms of the concentration level, every year that thing's just going to get less and less concentrated as you're naturally investing in other assets. That said, if we're nervous about it or it's a significant portion of, you know, your overall assets, then, yeah, I think it's time to kind of come up and make a plan with how to get out of there. And, Fred, maybe you want to talk about the tax implications a little bit.
What you were saying, Ken, is how important is this lump sum to your financial plan? There's really a very thin line between looking to minimize taxes and protect your gains. Where does this position fit into the long-term financial plan? So there are some things you can do to protect the position. You don't want to sell and realize those gains right away. You can use options as insurance. I think of when you have a large position, buying a put option. So that gives you the right to sell that position. No matter if it goes up, goes down, you have that locked in as insurance. The second is important, and it's tax strategy, right? We don't want to just liquidate in one fell swoop, not all the time at least, because all those gains will be in 1 year. So thinking about the strategy, you had some tax losses from previous years that you're able to carry forward to potentially offset those gains. Or the other option is just spreading those gains across many different years when the opportunity comes. But I think that you're doing a great job with the 401k, but don't forget that brokerage bucket is very important because it's going to give you some more flexibility and tax diversification.
You know, I think another thing to consider here is if these are short-term or long-term capital gains as well, right? So, you know, if these are long-term capital gains, I mean, we've held this asset for more than a calendar year. Those are going to be taxed at the 15 to 20% range, depending on your overall income. And if it's short-term gains, it just goes straight to your income as if just a check from your employer or what have you. So I think that's another important piece to consider is that, you know, even if you're in a 30-something percent tax bracket, if these are long-term gains, you're looking at probably 15 to 20, which matters as well. Mm-hmm. And the other thing you can consider is doing some tax loss harvesting. It sounds like we're investing in individual equities. We all like to think that we bat 1,000 and Babe Ruth has nothing on us, but you're going to have some positions that are at losses. And those are opportunity to kind of marry harvesting that loss along with some of the gain in this concentrated position to gracefully exit.
You see the way he kind of snuck baseball in? You worked in baseball, didn't you?
I did. Not on the field.
Yeah. I thought you were a tennis guy.
Now I am, yeah.
That's the way he gets injured. Not the way he gets paid. Ken Bellinger, senior trader, thank you.
Thank you.
And Fred Coleman, CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management, thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
That's Ask Annex. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Like it or not, you are a media-consuming machine, chased all day by headlines, texts, emails, on the TV, the computer, the phone, even your smartwatch. News about market volatility and uncertainty could lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. No surprise, Americans report increased stress about their investment and retirement plans. This isn't a time to be frozen in place. Take action. Put Annex Wealth Management on your side. Build a plan that will help cut through the noise. We'll provide comprehensive investment and retirement guidance that includes tax and estate planning. Let Annex do a deep dive on your portfolio, offer unbiased advice with Wealthmetric, and work to create a solid plan for you and your family. Turn down the media roar. Dial up the planning. Head to AnnexWealth.com and click the Get Started button. It takes only a couple of minutes. Set your own appointment. In person or online, it's time to take action and know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management. AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Well, this might be the shortest segment ever done on this show. I'm going to ask Amy Kiskala, an estate planning attorney and a wealth strategist at Annex Wealth Management, the following question. Do houses make for terrible wealth transfer vehicles?
Yes.
There you go. Segment's over. Thank you.
No problem, Danny. No,
we're not going to stop there. We're going to dig in a little deeper. Home may be where the heart is, but after it's inherited, it's where heirs must manage upkeep and deal with family conflicts related to what to do with it. What's a better way? And that's what we're going to explore. Used to be the American dream included not only buying a house, but passing that same house on to children. But what's the unspoken truth, Amy?
It is a bit of an over-exaggeration to say that it's a terrible wealth transfer vehicle, but transferring your home to your children does come with some challenges. You can be passing along financial burdens, red tape, home maintenance responsibilities, potential family conflict, and housing market volatility.
All of the above, right. A study from Money and Family found 68% of homeowners plan to leave a home or property to heirs, yet 56% haven't told them about their plans. That could be a problem.
It could be a problem on a number of fronts. So if the estate plan doesn't specify who inherits the house, then the children might have to decide if they're going to own it together, which can create some conflicts, or if one of the children is going to take it over. Whoever takes over the home will need a plan to pay those ongoing expenses. And these can be hard decisions to make after mom or dad is gone. So having that conversation while mom and dad are alive can be beneficial in determining whether any of the children would want the house and what the plan is to pay those homeowner expenses.
Right, because if your kids are spread out over the country, who's going to wind up with it?
Yeah, oftentimes parents assume that the kids want the house when the reality is they may be living all over the country.
Right. The question is, do houses make for terrible wealth transfer vehicles? Amy Kiskala is an estate planning attorney and wealth strategist. She said, yes, kind of. Let's talk about the financial burden.
As many of us are aware, there's a lot of expenses that go with owning a home. You've got home maintenance and improvements, utilities, property taxes, emergency repairs, insurance. Good idea for all the parties to know what those costs are. There can also be additional complications if there's a mortgage on the house. So let's say mom took out a mortgage at 3%. After mom dies, if you're inheriting the house, you're going to have to refinance that mortgage in your own name. And if you're doing that under today's rates, closer to 8%, those mortgage payments can be higher than you anticipated.
And what if the heirs want to sell the home? There's a lot involved with that. And let's say there's a couple of kids and they've got this hot potato now of a house. What I would hate, I guess I'm thinking of my situation, I'd hate for my boys to just unload the thing because they wanted to unload it.
Right. You want to be really thoughtful about that. And there can be a lot of steps to selling a house. So one of the first things you have to determine is, well, how is the house titled? And does somebody even have authority to sell the house? So if there's a probate involved, that might mean the executor or could be the successor trustee if your house is owned by a trust. Often a good idea to use a realtor and an estate planning attorney to help guide the family through that process.
So we do this because owners often have a deep emotional attachment to their home. So when people gift their homes to children and heirs, they're not just given an asset. They're endowing them with all the good memories that were made on the property, but it can open up a can of worms. There are better ways to plan through what to do with a family home. What have you seen work?
I've seen this transition work well when parents do have those conversations and really go through that thought process ahead of time during their lifetimes and have a plan in place. So oftentimes it might make sense, you know, kids may be spread across the country, but there may be one that's living locally that it does make sense for that child to take over the house. Then you want to make sure your estate plan is written to take that into account. So let's take an example. All right, so you've got two children, mom and dad have a house worth $500,000 and other assets worth $3.5 million. So if there is one kid that wants the house, then the estate plan could say that maybe that child gets the $500,000 house and $1.5 million of other assets, while the other child is going to get $2 million of other assets.
I guess it would be a
conversation because first you need to talk to the kids, right, and see what they might be interested in. But do you need to negotiate with your kids? That's a different question. So it's important to set that up before you talk to the estate planning attorney, but then to put the plan in place and say, okay, guys, here's how it's going to go.
Yeah, the estate planning attorney can walk you through what that process looks like. Sometimes you can set it up ahead of time. Sometimes you may not know. And so maybe your estate plan gives the children the option. Like, you may not negotiate with your kids, but maybe they negotiate with each other after your death to decide if one of them maybe wants to take over or buy the house from the other.
There's a reason, Amy, that you're on the team, Amy Kiskala, for stuff like this. She's an estate planning attorney, a wealth strategist at Annex Wealth Management. She and the rest of the bunch can help you. Amy, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Danny.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Joined by Jeff Stanek, CFP, Wealth Manager and Manager of Annex Ignite. Welcome back.
Thanks, Danny.
Let's start there. What is Annex Ignite?
Well, Annex Ignite is it's an online service that we help our clients get to know us and we get to know them. And depending on where they are in their stage of life, we segment them either in Ignite or our Annex Full Service.
So you're the perfect guy for this segment. We are going to talk about Henrys. Can you explain who Henrys are and what are some of the characteristics of them?
Well, the term Henry is an acronym for high earners, not rich yet. So these are most likely college graduates earning over $100,000. But what's unique about them is they have a lot of student debt, a lot of consumer debt, and their net worth is not very high yet.
But they're on their way. They're saving, they're investing, but they're dealing with a number of young adult stuff. What are some common financial habits and challenges faced by the Henrys, and how does this impact their overall financial well-being? Because this is something you deal with Annex Ignite.
Right. We hope they're saving, we hope they're investing, but the reality is sometimes they're not doing either. What we tend to find is they come out of college, they forget about these student debts, and the first thing they do is they get a car. And so they get this really big, expensive car. And then when they look at their overall net worth, their cash flow, all of a sudden 70 to 80% is going to living and consumer debt and consumer spending, and there's not much left over.
This is the high earners not gonna be rich if they continue on that path.
Exactly. And so what we do at Ignite, and we do it not just for Henrys, but for everybody, we start the conversation and get an understanding of what are the inflows, what are the outflows. I always tell clients, you need to do a budget, even if it's for 2 or 3 months, just to understand where your money's going.
Right, a little discipline, but then you can show them what the potential is.
Right. And so, you know, typically they're working for an employer. An employer offers some type of savings plan. And in that savings plan, there's an incentive where the employer gives a match. And so the first thing we tell our clients or prospects is get that match. Put the money away.
A great way to start investing, but you got to stay invested.
Exactly. And so as you're going along, obviously, you may not be able to do that right away because your consumer debt is so high or your student loans are so high. But once you get an understanding, you might have to cut back in other areas, whether it's vacations, personal spending, going out to eat a lot. Those seem kind of simple subjects, but they're things we all need to understand and we need to, you know, address.
Oh, that chips away at it. Totally chips away at it. We're with Jeff Stanek, CFP, Wealth Manager and Manager of Annex Ignite. We're talking about Henrys, high earners, not rich yet. They're at the point in their lives and careers where they could easily live like kings, but if they've got patience, diligence, and guidance from Annex Ignite, things could go very well for them down the road. And it leads me to this question. How do Henrys balance saving and spending, especially considering the caution many exhibit in their financial habits, which is you've got to be disciplined?
When they meet with us, we use our software to put everything in there so they can see a projection. And then we work through different scenarios. And it's not a 1 year, 2 year plan. It's a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year plan.
Nice.
So you can see in 5 years, all of a sudden, the goal may be 5 years, we're going to get that company match. We're going to be saving 10% of our income. And then we coach them up to say in 10 years, you should be up to 15 to 20%. So it takes time. Changing any type of habit, they say, takes a lot of time and hard work.
But if you could show it on the screen, the absolute potential, that must get them excited.
Well, it does, you know, and it encourages them. And then if they do become a client of Annex, then we meet them a couple times a year and just do check-ins. How are you doing? Are you meeting your goals?
What kind of things are they facing? You talked about a little bit, student debt, childcare costs, lifestyle inflation. It's not so different from the rest of us.
There's so much thrown at them. I got to take this great vacation, or I got to go to this great event. I got to go get the most popular concert tickets. And at some point, they have to make those hard choices.
Well, like, it's Annex Ignite, but it's not Annex Buzzkill either. I mean, exactly. We want people to live lives.
Oh, absolutely. We want people to live life. We use a lot of math here at Annex to help explain the message we're trying to get across. And a lot of times the math really shows a clear path for people.
And it starts with that Annex Wealth Management Portfolio Review, the wealth metric. Jeff and his team spot potential and then work to build plans that'll keep me on track and on the way to the kind of retirement you desire. Jeff Stanek is a CFP, wealth manager, and manager of Annex Ignite. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Danny.
It was bound to happen. Over your career, investments came along for the ride. The first 401k, brokerage account, profit sharing, stock options, pension, another 401k, an insurance policy, an annuity. You get the picture. At Annex Wealth Management, we believe every portfolio tells a story. After all, we've seen, reviewed, dissected, discussed, and analyzed thousands of them. Some portfolios are like well-tended gardens and reflect diligence, patience, fortitude, and optimism. Others tell the story of being sold commission products that might not have been the best choice, maybe for the salesperson, but not for the investor. When the financial planning team at Annex reviews your portfolio, we spot what works, what might not, and then provide unbiased suggestions based on what's important, the retirement you desire. That's where the good stuff happens. Every portfolio tells a story. Let's work on yours. Investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. As a fee-only fiduciary, that's our story. Head to AnnexWealth.com, click the Get Started button. That's AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Deanne Phillips is back. She is Director of Client Learning and Development, CFP, and a CDFA at Annex Wealth Management. Hello.
Hello, Danny.
So I found this really sweet letter. Could you read it, please?
You bet. I'm a healthy and active widow in my late 70s. My intention is to stay in my home forever. That is, until a good friend visited and said, you should be moving. The house is much too big with too many stairs. Move before you have to. That jolted me, since I love where I live and I love my home and community. It's where my late husband and I raised our three children. After 40 years, what should I reluctantly be thinking about?
Key word there is reluctantly, and that is a tough one, a very tough one. Let's talk things over. Downsizing or aging in place, is this something you see a lot of?
Yes, especially downsizing relative to our stuff. All the things we've collected through the years. However, we're starting to hear more people talk about right-sizing their homes. They aren't necessarily going smaller. They're moving into something more appropriate for their needs and values.
Downsizing or aging in place. If you'd like to stay in your home, you're not alone. A 2022 study said that 88% of adults 50 and older want to age in place. 77% in an AARP survey. Are there clear reasons?
Well, aging in our current home gives us control and autonomy. It can promote life satisfaction, a positive quality of life, self-esteem, all of which are needed to remain happy, healthy, and well into old age. But many older adults and their families have concerns about safety, getting around, or other daily activities of living. Living at home as you age requires careful consideration and planning.
And most adults are not prepared to age in place.
Well, the best time to think about how to age in place is before you need a lot of care, right? Planning ahead allows you to make important decisions while you're still able. So think about the kinds of help you need now and might need in the future. Consider any illnesses that you or your spouse might have and find out how the illnesses could make it hard for someone to get around or take care of themselves in the future.
Not all older adults want to downsize. In fact, the pandemic served as a motivator for many to rethink their lifestyle and what's important. But you need to ask a lot of questions. What are a few?
Definitely. And while some people do upsize to accommodate a growing family or of great-grandchildren, we do need to consider, is the space too much to maintain over time? Are the costs of maintaining this space, everything from utilities and the maintenance on the house to property taxes, are all those expenses going to stress our goals and assets over time? Also, we want to consider, if I'm here alone, is it too isolated? Will I be lonely? Will transportation be an issue? You know, Danny, my grandmother never moved because the house she'd built decades previously was on a bus line. She never drove. It was convenient for her. And then there's also the consideration of the equity in the house. Is it so much house that the money you want to use for travel and lifestyle is tied up and you're living in it?
Deanna, we had some friends with a really nice suburban home. They sold it to move to an urban setting, and they had a lot of stuff. Even after they moved, my friend said to me, Danny, you got to purge. And then you purge more. And then you purge more. We've lived in the same place for a while. We got a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Now, think of this as pre-downsizing, right? And there are several reasons to pre-downsize. You can work at your own pace without pressures or deadlines. And doing it when you're physically up to the task is good, when we can carry the boxes and, you know, downstairs. Plus, taking care of it now means that your loved ones will have less to do after you're gone, or if they're helping you move when it becomes critical timing. You know, there's also that feeling of a accomplishment. Actually, purging might make you want to stay in your current home longer. Now, I read this stat. I challenged this. It said the average home has about 300,000 items in it. But if you count all utensils, random paperwork, clothing, and then you throw in your sock drawer, it can be significantly more. I'm sure you can see how it adds up.
I've seen junk drawers with 300,000 items. Yeah. Sure. So these are big steps, and they're not to be taken lightly. It's a part of your life plan, which probably means it's part of your financial plan.
Right. So we as financial planners can easily build into your plan a change in housing expenditures, whether it's right-sizing or downsizing, amendments to stay in your own current home, or physically moving into an age-in-place community. We'll actually show you how that plays out financially in your plan with your money and what your spend looks like afterwards.
You're smart because you, what, moved like three times in the last 10 years, right?
Oh,
this is
goodness.
One way to keep
I don't know if that's smart.
Okay, right? But that's one way to keep the junk down.
You would think. Yes.
You would think. For investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, know the difference. Website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Start that wealth metric process. Deanna Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development, CFP, and a CDFA at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The Annex Wealth Management Investment Committee is locked and laser-focused on every aspect of the markets. Go deep with the SWOT podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats. Delivered every Monday morning on Spotify. Search Annex Wealth Management for the SWOT podcast.
Headlines, texts, emails, the TV, the computer, the phone, even your smartwatch, every day. Market volatility can lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. No surprise, Americans report being stressed about their investment and retirement plans. Turn down the media roar. Dial up the planning. Put Annex Wealth Management on your side for investment and retirement guidance that includes tax and estate planning. Head to AnnexWealth.com. Click the Get Started button. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Tom Parks, Director of Retirement Plan Services, is here. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Danny.
Wall Street Journal, well-respected newspaper, right?
It's one of the few publications for which I have a subscription, so yes, I do think so.
Actual journalists, extensive coverage of business and finance, right?
All sorts of good stuff in there.
Right. That's where I saw the headline, Roth versus traditional 401k, where to put your money for retirement. That got my attention, and apparently yours as well.
As soon as you asked me about this, I knew exactly what you were talking about. So yes, we were in tune on this one, Danny.
Let's talk about that. The 401k is what you do here at Annex Wealth Management for companies we work with. It was built on a simple idea. You set aside money from each paycheck to save for tomorrow and get a tax break today. The article points out many workers now have other option, which is to save the tax break for tomorrow too. So we're talking about the Roth 401k. How does that work?
So I'm going to real quick promote our YouTube channel because we have a great video where it talks about Roth versus pre-tax. But in essence, the answer to your question is, how does Roth work? It is essentially the treatment of the contributions in terms of taxes. So traditional pre-tax 401k is you don't pay any taxes on it now, grows tax deferred. Come retirement time, you take it out, you pay taxes on it then. Roth is just the opposite. You do pay the taxes now, then the money goes in, grows tax deferred till retirement, at which point, assuming you've completed all the other rules I'm not going to get into today, but at that point, you don't have to pay taxes. So it's either it's pay now instead of pay later, basically.
When do you want to bite the bullet?
Correct.
Right. Roth accounts might not be the best choice for everybody, and deciding how much of your money should go into the Roth versus traditional, it's calculation. It's current spending, future taxable income, life expectancy, and other factors, some of which are, quote, unknowable. Unknowable. That sounds complicated.
A lot of them are unknowable, Danny. And so when you say that, you know, some of the things are unknowable, let's start with what is knowable. So what we do know is what we're paying in taxes today. And what we don't know is all the other stuff that you're talking about. So I think there are a couple of groups. There are people for whom Roth is just obviously the right answer. And then there are people for whom Roth is obviously not the right answer. And then it's that middle in-between group that we got to help figure out all these little details that you're talking about here. And that's why we meet with people one-on-one to kind of go through and ask a lot of questions and help them figure it out.
Roth 401ks create opportunities for some to reduce lifetime tax bills and leave more money for retirement or heirs. Not a bad thing.
It's a great thing. And it's just, again, a question of how you're structuring that in the context of your overall plan.
Okay, let's get back to this. Not everybody should contribute to a Roth concept. How come?
Well, there are people for whom the tax liability currently is going to outweigh the future tax liability. And the other thing is compound growth over time. The closer you are to retirement, the less value that compound tax-free growth has. So it's just a question of how close to retirement are you starting with the account? Are you already have an account that continues to grow? All of those things. And that's why people, you know, sometimes they're dissatisfied that I can't just give a quick answer. But we do need to understand all the variables to help figure it out. But there are definitely cases where it's just the timing or the amounts just don't make it make sense.
Well, and this is what a financial plan does. And this is why we have teams that can help with this. You know, an old broken down war horse like me, I got to ask those kind of questions.
Right? We all do, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Parks is Director of Retirement Plan Services with Annex Wealth Management. He and his team work with companies to help build and maintain solid retirement plans. And these are plans that attract and retain great employees. Roth or traditional 401k, how does one decide?
Basically, you take a look and you try to get a feel for what do you think is going to happen in the future based on what you know today. Some of this is just personal, Danny. I like knowing. So I know what my tax rate is today. I love Roth because I'm paying it and I'm done and I don't need to think about it again. Now, is that a really great financial plan from a calculator and spreadsheet perspective? Maybe it's not, but personality factors into this. I do think you need to figure out some of the maths. You know, you do need to understand what are tax rates now, but then it gets into what do I think tax rates are going to be in the future? I personally think they're probably not going to be the same because they usually change. So then the question is, all right, are they going to be higher? Or are they going to be lower? I personally think it's more likely they'll be higher than it is lower. Then the question is how much higher versus what they are. All this, you know, these are all the things that we talk about with people. And then you start putting people's specific information in. That's where you start to get a clearer picture.
Can you split contributions? Can some go to the Roth? Can some go to a regular 401k?
Yes, you can do that. That is one thing I don't understand, honestly, why people would do that. It seems like you should either do Roth or you should do pre-tax, but I could be wrong about that. And again, that's why we have the financial planning department. And Danny, I will say, I've had some spirited discussions with the folks on our financial planning department, which is another thing I love about being here, is we got people who have a lot of really good insight, and we don't always have the same opinion, but you know, we hammer it out and figure out what's going to be the right answer for clients here.
Oh, I think if we were all in lockstep, it probably would not work.
No, that would not be helpful.
Right. We figure it out, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Parks is Director of Retirement Plan Services at Annex Wealth Management. We can help your company. You can find Tom on LinkedIn or via annexwealth.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Market volatility, global issues. We hear about inflation easing, but it's still a real issue. More than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans like you feel uncertain about their financial future. Just 59% of affluent Americans felt secure last year, and that's down from the year before. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennial families with big dreams, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. Our goal is a plan that prepares you to maintain your desired lifestyle throughout retirement. Investments are a start, but you may need more. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Annex Comprehensive Wealth fits most individuals and families, but if you've got high net worth with complex needs, Annex Private Client is your solution. Just starting out, Annex Ignite is a great choice. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
We are back, and another reminder, three easy ways to access content from Annex Wealth Management. We do it on the air, we do it on the stream, we do it on the podcast. This show is going to go live on Spotify, Apple, and other podcast platforms at the top of the hour. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned this story that dropped on Friday in the Wall Street Journal. Here's the headline: Realtors reach deal that will change how Americans buy and sell homes. Dave, you said, I think this is going to be a big thing.
I think it's going to be a big story for sure. And the reason why is, you know, we get the opportunity to talk to lots of families across all of our offices, and folks have brought this up. So Not only was it a Wall Street Journal article, but it's also on Main Street as well. And so I do want to talk about it because it's going to affect a lot of people. There was this antitrust case brought against some realtor organizations that they were conspiring to keep commissions high. They entered into a settlement to pay some money to make sure that goes away. So will it change the industry is really the question.
Yeah, and when I look at the terms of the settlement, number one, I was a little surprised by the dollar amount. It was like $418 million, especially since a couple of weeks ago, maybe that it was in the billions that they were talking about. And so maybe that's a little bit better relative to having to fork over, you know, the few billion dollars. But in terms of what might actually change, I think time will only tell because in this agreement, it effectively means that the buyers, that if they have an agent, somebody representing them in a transaction, and so there's a contract there where the realtor actually represents the buyer, the default is that they represent the seller. But in this case now, they're basically going to have to negotiate how they're going to get paid, because traditionally, it gets paid out of whatever the transaction is. You know, the seller lists it. Let's say it's like a 6% commission and they agree that the buyer agent will get a certain percent. Maybe it's 2.4%, whatever it is. And so maybe there's going to be a little bit more flexibility. But in other areas where they have kind of experimented with this a little bit, I think Washington State is an example. It didn't really change the practices all that much. It did on the margin, only like a fraction of a percentage of the transactions that took place looked any different after they changed the rules. So I think we're going to really have to see what does this mean. It will likely bring a lot more transparency to the fee situation with the commissions, because right now it is kind of buried in there as far as, oh, I'm going to pay a certain dollar amount, and then you get through, and then they say, well, title insurance is this, and then the seller commission is that, and then the buyer's commission is this. So maybe it's going to bring a little bit more transparency to what people are actually paying.
Transparency and fees, that's a drum you've been beating for a while, Dave.
Yeah, for a couple of decades, for certain, and that is really, as we act as a fiduciary, that's one of the things we talk about, because a lot of times investors go to agents, if you will, and they don't tell them the amount of commission that they're going to get, for example, in an annuity product. And so we talk about fee transparency all the time. But I think not only is this article applicable to our industry, I think it's going to be a big deal in the fact that now the agents and the seller are going to have to communicate, are going to have to be transparent. And I really think the better agents are really going to use this transparency as a benefit on why they are providing a benefit. And that is what they're going to sell. And I think that's a really good thing, Brian.
Yes, I agree. It's about in business, right? Are you going to try to compete on value or on price? Oftentimes, you're trying to compete on both. But I think that this is an opportunity for that type of transparency to really come to the fore. And maybe it's also going to remind individuals that when you enter into these transactions, the agents that are involved, so this doesn't just apply to real estate, this applies to anywhere, which side of the table are they on?
Right.
Is that agent, are they on your side of the table as the buyer? Or are they sitting across from you and trying to sell you something? And I think that could be a really big benefit.
And there'll probably be a washout, Brian, of some, you know, tangentially, of some of these agents who are on the periphery who aren't doing a lot, who aren't communicating well. And I think the good agents are really going to take advantage of this. And I do think that what we're going to see across the industry, it was a major change in our industry when stockbrokers couldn't charge an enormous amount of commission to do a stock transaction. That's effectively have gone away. And so I do think this you're going to start to see this in the real estate business as well. And I think the consumer is better off for it.
Yeah. When the New York Stock Exchange was formed under that buttonwood tree on Wall Street in New York, it was actually a way in order for them to fix commissions, right? So really the New York Stock Exchange, many, many years ago, it formed as a way to almost conspire against investors to make sure that they weren't competing based on the commission. And now those rules have changed. In London Stock Exchange, that you had this, they called it the Big Bang back in 1986, where they got rid of the fixed commissions, where they were conspiring against them. And now look at all of the competition, all the various ways in which people can invest. You can have your own brokerage account. You can have different bells and whistles associated with these different ways in which you're able to invest. And so it was really triggered by some of this change in the legislation, change in the rules. So it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Okay, folks, Dave was being fairly gracious earlier when he said it frustrates him, this whole commission thing. I think it really frustrates you. I mean, I think that's the reason you chose to be a fiduciary.
Well, I think it goes back to why I did it, you know, back in the late 1990s, is because there was not transparency, and it was really built for the agent or the stockbroker, and it wasn't built for the consumer. And I think that's what this really does. It's the reason why I've been pounding the table for all of these years about being a fee-only fiduciary. And folks, those three words have meaning. Fee-only, that means no commissions. Fiduciary, to always act in the best interest of your client. That is the really core of our mantra.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, they describe something called the spidey sense. If they know that they're being sold something, if you've ever gotten that feeling.
And Danny, people can pick up on that no matter where they are.
Yeah, we think so. And we hope in this last hour you picked up on what we are talking about. Dr. Brian Jacobson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Hey, reminder, Election Year Myths, the webinar, Tuesday, 3 p.m. It's a hot topic, a lot of interest. Sign up at annexwealth.com/events. What you've heard in the last hour, just a sample of what we will do for you as a client. Get that whole picture. We're confident we're going to fit the bill for you and your family. See you next Sunday at noon. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.